You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Since 1996, Sharon Bronson has served the people of Pima County with leadership, honor, and a commitment to responsible government. Sharon has led the way for the passage of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, which has protected our Sonoran Desert while assuring new growth pays for itself. Sharon has guided the Pima County Board of Supervisors through good times and bad. She has fought to improve county roads, fought to create thousands of new high-paying jobs for Pima County. Voters have returned Sharon Bronson to the Pima County Board of Supervisors six times, and she asked for your vote in the 2020 primary election. Now, more than ever before, Sharon Bronson's leadership is needed in these difficult times. Vote for Sharon Bronson for Supervisor in District 3. This message approved and paid for by Bronson for Supervisor.
I am former South Tucson Police Chief Sixto Molina. Prior to that, I was a Tucson police officer for 25 years. Current low staffing levels of the Tucson Police Department compromises the safety of Tucson residents, businesses, and our officers. Please reach out to the City Council and tell them to vote no on defunding the police.
Less officers on the street makes us less safe. Tell the mayor and council not to defund the police. Email your support to comments at tucsonaz.gov. This message paid for by Tucson Business Owners, Inc.
Tell me we are only going back to Acheron to kill them, right? To eliminate the aliens, right, Burke?
That's right, Ripley. Our job is to eliminate the threat on planet LV-426.
Brace yourselves, we're gonna crash.
This is just freaking great, man. This is just classic. We crash on an alien planet. We're all gonna die. Game over, man. Game over.
Hurry, grab all the stuff we can salvage. It's gonna be dark soon. The aliens mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Don't let your auto repairs be a disaster. Aliens in the engine, noises from the brakes, odd smells from the air conditioning. It's not game over. It's about maintenance at Perfection Auto Works. 323-8650. Brakes, belts, tires, complete auto and truck repair. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
The following is a paid program, and the host is solely responsible for its content. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios, the John C. Scott Political Forum for this 18th day of July. A great lineup of guests today. Dr. Matt Himes will be with us. He's a candidate for the Board of Supervisors in Supervisor District 2. Then we'll talk with Bennett Bernal. He's running for constable again. He's been the constable in Precinct 6 for a long time, wants to be there for another 4 years. Ethan Orr is back into the arena. He was a former lawmaker, a legislator, Republican, and is now running for the Pima Community College Board. Ethan Orr back into the arena. Don Jorgensen will wrap up our show. He is the former executive director of the Pima County Democrats. And we will be talking with Don at the end of our show. Well, let's now talk with Dr. Matt Himes. I can't think of a better reason to put a doctor on the Board of Supervisors in the middle of this pandemic and really a critical time for the health of all of us in Pima County. We need to elect Matt Himes to the Board of Supervisors. He joins me now. Doctor, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join me. Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Good to be here.
All right, well, I want to know how this is going to end. We're talking about COVID-19. When will it end? How will it end? And I don't even know whether we see the end of it now. Do we?
Well, so we're still learning a lot about the disease. You know, we're in the hospitals and our clinics, we're getting a bit better at caring for people with the infection. We're able to help more people get off of the ventilators and get out of the hospital. And we're, you know, seeing that people that are on ventilators for a long time can have some other chronic issues now going forward. So I'd say overall, though, we still don't have curative therapy. We do not have a vaccine. And until we get one or both of those, we can't really say that, you know, we're not really out of the woods. So August 2021, that's a date that I think folks have been talking about a little bit, at least our military has been talking about operating as if we are in a pandemic until at least probably about a year from now or so.
So we're going to be experiencing what we are experiencing now 1 year from now?
Hopefully not. I think once I think it's becoming clear, hopefully to the governor and to many other governors across the country, that we are, I mean, Arizona is in a red zone. We're one of the 18 states that the federal government has decided is, you know, we have a lot of spread going on. We need some extra help. And a state that should be rolling back reopenings. That's the recommendation from the federal government, which was, of course, not made public as a result of, I think, the administration not wanting it to be made public. But if we do what the public health experts say, which is to require masks statewide, not just by municipality, and also enforce some kind of maybe short lockdown, 2-4 weeks to get things under control, hire those contact tracers and do way more testing, we can keep things in under control like a lot of European nations are, so that there's just small outbreaks here and there that can be controlled and the rest of society can kind of reopen for the most part and move on. That's the goal.
These numbers are just unbelievable. We've got almost 140,000 number of cases statewide. You've got 2,500 dead, almost a million tests. You're talking about almost 4,000 number of new cases statewide reported just yesterday, 100 new deaths, and the number of new tests statewide, about 18,000. I just I don't think people realize that the economic damage that's been done, because there are a great many people out of work. They might not, and more than likely will not, return to the job that they've had for a long period of time. The economy is going to have a very difficult time struggling to even get back to near where we were. The same thing with the medical cost of this. As you know, there's nothing in medicine that's free. Somebody's going to pay for this. I mean, if you say, well, I don't have to pay for my COVID-19 medical care, somebody's paying for it. So the cost to the medical community is going to be enormous, millions, if not billions and billions of dollars, doctor.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. This is a huge expense, and I think looking at the economic front, and I'm with everybody. Nobody wants to, you know, have a partial or complete lockdown again, but we're at a place where if we don't aggressively do something about the public health crisis, we will not ever get back to an economic situation where it can be a free and open society like we have been because of this disease. So if we double down and really, you know, everyone's wearing masks, if we have to do 2 or 4 weeks of lockdown to really pull these numbers down, decompress the hospitals, decrease the spread, and then kind of put into place those protocols we were talking about, that's how we're going to get the economy back on track the fastest.
Let's talk about you and your campaign to be a member of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, District 2. I just think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you could bring so much expertise to guide this Board of Supervisors through many, many, many difficult decisions they're going to have to make that have a great deal to do with where we are with this pandemic. And so let's talk about this campaign, where you think you are. You're just a couple of weeks away from the primary, and you need to win this. Let's talk about how people can help you win it.
For sure. So it's that actually is a great intro. I made a pretty late decision to jump in. I was motivated by, you know, the lack of response I was seeing in terms of the pandemic from the federal government, from the state government as well. Continues to be pretty unimpressive, non-serious in my opinion. And really, it's our local, in this case, the county government. That's where you have the county health department. And that's where people are kind of relying on now that we don't have, unfortunately, people that we can really believe at the federal level. The CDC has been compromised now. They're not collecting hospital data anymore because the White House wants that to essentially cover things up, right? That's not good. So we can't trust the federal government. We don't seem to be able to trust Governor Ducey. So what do we have to rely on? It's going to be Pima County. It's going to be the county public health officials, and those are the folks that I think we need to empower and listen to. And as a member of the Board of Supervisors, I will do everything in my power to make sure we can do that.
How do people help you get elected?
Well, you can go to heinz4supervisor.com and check that out. You can volunteer, contribute if you feel so inclined, and just read a little bit more about the campaign.
This has been a very difficult time campaigning through this pandemic. I mean, I don't know how people do it. I mean, you normally would knock on doors. Nobody wants you knocking on their door.
Of course not.
We used to gather and listen to candidates debate each other. We don't do that anymore. Not really.
Zoom.
I guess. I don't know. This has always never been an effective way for me to understand people. I want to be able to ask them an immediate question and, you know, see them personally, but that's not happening. How do you campaign through this nightmare? And that's what it is. It's a nightmare.
It is. And look, I mean, we've faced in this nation many, many challenging times. I mean, 1864, there was an election and there was, you know, the Civil War happening, right? So their voting has gone on during some very, very difficult times in our history. This is another one of those times. And we just have to adapt. As we were just saying, some of the meetings, some of the interviews I've done with groups who are interested in, you know, making endorsements and having their members talk to me and talk to other candidates, those have been a lot of online or video conference type meetings, which is very, very different. I'm used to being able to shake hands. That's not something we're doing anymore. And be there in person with 30, 40 people in a house party that someone throws. You can't do that. But we are, you know, doing what we can to make all the candidates available, myself included. And we're also working, you know, doing a lot of advertising via like the social media, you know, Facebook, and we're pushing out a lot of ads that way. We still put up signs, and lots of volunteers making phone calls to the voters in the district to talk about, you know, what I want to accomplish and introduce them to me as a candidate. And I think that's what a lot of candidates are doing right now. It's really what we can safely do, because you don't want to endanger the people.
You know, Ramon Valadez, the incumbent you're running against, is a nice person, but I've been in this town for 50 years. I've done broadcasting in the news business. Then I had a talk show for 31 years. I don't know anything Ramon Valadez has done of any great significance. I think he's a very nice person. But I think putting you on the Board of Supervisors in these times just makes a hell of a lot of sense. Nothing against Mr. Valdez. I'm just simply telling you, I don't know what he's done. And I follow things pretty closely. That's my job. So anyway, I will say that. And I will say that I asked people to vote for you. And I hope that they do. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you, John. I really appreciate you.
All right. Let's talk again how people can help. What do they do?
Oh, just head to Heinz4Supervisor.com to take a look at the website there.
Very good. Thank you so much. We'll have you on again before this primary, and good luck to you, Doctor. Thank you.
Sounds great. Thanks, John. Bye now.
You will see Dr. Heinz on MSNBC on numerous occasions. He's become a medical authority to the nation through MSNBC. Bennett Bernal will be with us. He's a candidate for constable. He's been a constable for quite some time in Precinct 6, formerly a member of the staff of the Ward 3 City Council office, I believe. He's a great guy. Being a constable is not as easy as it might seem to you. People don't want to see constables. They don't hand out presents like Santa Claus. Not many people are happy to see them at their door. What about evictions? Will they come back with hundreds of people being thrown from their homes and constables having to be an instrument to that eviction? We'll talk after this. His conservative columns, written for the Arizona Daily Star, became a must-read for every Southern Arizonan interested in or active in politics. His radio talk show became a leading voice for conservative thought in Southern Arizona. He is Joseph Morgan, and he's running for Congress in Congressional District 2. Joseph Morgan gives the Republican Party the best chance in the last 4 years to regain the District 2 seat. Joseph Morgan is a tireless worker. He's walked to thousands of homes in Southern Arizona. Joseph Morgan is the right person to help us through these very tough times. Joseph Morgan will help lead us through the economic crisis that has resulted from COVID-19. Joseph Morgan believes that every person has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that government exists for no other purpose. Vote for Joseph Morgan in the Republican primary August 4th. This message paid for and approved by Joseph Morgan for Congress 2020.
Because I'm not a politician, people ask me, Chris Nanos, why I'm running for sheriff. But for 40 years, I've been a darn good cop. Standing up to thugs and standing strong for victims, that's why so many members of the Sheriff's Department have asked me to run. They say their turnover has never been higher and their morale never lower. They say they want a new leader. I ask for your support to be that leader.
We need Nanos for sheriff. Paid for by Nanos for sheriff.
For the past 20 years, Beth Ford has served Pima County residents as their county treasurer. Four times Beth has been asking for support of Pima County voters, and each time voters have responded with a resounding yes.
Once again, Beth Ford asked for your vote for Pima County Treasurer. Beth is a proud graduate of the University of Arizona. She is a certified public accountant. Beth has served four terms as president of the Arizona Association of County Treasurers. The Pima County Treasurer is a tax collector for 96 political subdivisions in Pima County, and over $3 billion flow through her office annually. Beth Ford is committed to providing the most professional and efficient service for all of Pima County. Beth Ford asks for your vote in the 2020 primary and general election. Experience matters. Vote for Beth Ford for Pima County Treasurer. This message is approved and paid for by Beth Ford for Treasurer 2020.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on this 18th day of July. Thanks so much for being with us. Bennett Bernal is with us. He's a constable. This job of yours is a lot more difficult than a lot of people imagine. A lot of folks don't want to see you at their door. And if you have to evict somebody, that takes almost a psychologist to be able to handle that situation, defusing, really, I think, tense times. This is a tough job, isn't it? And you've been doing it for quite a while, Bennett.
Yes, thanks, John, for having me on. Yes, I've been doing it for 9 years now, and it is a difficult job. I don't consider it a tough job in the sense if you have the right set of mind of helping people out. In my 9 years when I started, it was a difficult job because of the resources that were limited. But today we have we've really moved forward in getting people the assistance and help that a lot of people need before they become evicted or become homeless.
You actually spend more time trying to find somebody a home rather than getting them out of the one they're in, which I guess is really not part of your job, but you've made it part of your job.
Yeah, that's one of the things that when I first took office, John, is that when I looked at it, I said there's got to be a better way of just coming in and kicking people out. And there's been so much support for what I've done in the past. There's so many people that I'm thankful for. It starts with the Board of Supervisors, the City Council. It starts with our Justice Court. I mean, there's so many people. It's nonprofits that are out there, the actual landlords or owners of these properties to make things happen. Because, John, as you know, when we get there, we don't have much choice. We got within 24, 48, depending on the situation. But, you know, if we get there prior to that, we sometimes can get 2 to 3 to almost a week notice to people that they're being evicted so we can get them the help.
Now, by the way, the evictions have been halted in Arizona by order of the governor through sometime next month, but that may change, and there'll be a lot of people that apparently will be a part of an eviction mass of people. That's not going to be pretty at all, is it?
No, but I don't know if you guys heard, he extended that to October 31st.
That's good news.
So, yeah, that's really good news. But what's the nicer thing is that we're going to be able to get assistance from the community action committees. We're going to be able to get out the word of there's funding out there for rental assistance. We got over $80 million coming in to the state of Arizona. So we'll be part of that. We'll also be educated on getting fast-tracking a lot of these people that are in jeopardy of becoming homeless. So I think there's a lot of good things that Doug Ducey has put out there, but I think the Justice Courts and I think Pima County Housing, City of Tucson, we're all in this together, and we've been really working hard to prevent this because we were thinking it was going to be July 22nd, but now we have this little cushion here so we can get more out there. What we need now here, John, from everybody is that we need time. Time is the crucial element to all of this, of the single mom with kids being evicted, elderly people, veterans, people that have a mental illness. This can't be done in 2 to 3 days. Sometimes it takes 5 to maybe 2 weeks. And you mentioned before, I do spend a lot of time and it's worth it because people are no longer, they don't become homeless, and then we can find them places with the resources that we're getting from a lot of agencies.
You also serve papers, and a lot of people don't want those papers that you're serving, so it takes a psychology to kind of defuse really what is a tense situation when you knock on a door. And it's not comfortable.
Well, you know, John, I think the thing that we really have to really focus in on as constables is not going in with this mentality of, you know, this with our badges and guns and all these other things. I go in there with, you know, in plain clothes with a badge over my with a badge, and I have a resource book, and I also have legal aid help, so if someone needs help in that sense. So what we do when we first open this, or when we encounter with these defendants, is that we give them information, and a lot of them are very grateful that we're doing that. You've got to de-escalate, and it doesn't have to be this way it used to be done, or in the past when I first started, it was just the wrong way of doing it. You've got to be kind, and you've got to be able to have answers for people, because I tell you, all you need is five. Once you get in there, you got 5 to 30 seconds to make that impression. And then once that's done, then you can establish a better relationship with them as well.
By the way, how do people help you get reelected, which I urge people to reelect you? You've been a marvelous constable. Everybody thinks you're one of the best that we've ever had, and I understand that. You worked in the Ward 3 Council office for a while, too, so you know something about public service, right?
Oh, yeah. I worked with Kathleen Dunbar. That's when I first met you, and we did a lot of work together. And then I go, yes, very long. And then I worked with Karen Ulick, and then I did a year with Paul Durham. So, I know Ward 3 like the back of my hand. It's my passion, and I just love that ward, and I just love the work that I do. I appreciate everybody's acknowledging that the work that I'm doing is making changes.
How do people help you get reelected? Got about a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, you can just go to my Facebook page, and it's Constable Burnell, and then whatever you can do, vote for me. I always say, have your dogs and cats vote for me as well.
Yeah, good. That's great. My golden retriever's right there. I'm flat guaranteed. Bennett, thanks so much. Really great to talk with you. We've known each other for such a long time. Everybody I talk with within the constable community talks about how really damn good you are at what you do. And so it's a good reason to reelect you one more time. Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You've been on the John C. Scott Political Forum. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for being with us. Got a great lineup of guests coming up. Ethan Orr's back in the political arena running for the Pima Community College Board. He was a former legislator and one of the more effective Republicans to ever serve from Southern Arizona. We'll talk to Ethan Orr back in the arena. And then Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party, is my guest in this next half hour. Stay with us. KVY The Voice. Andrea D'Alessandro is one of the hardest working state legislators in Arizona. We need to send Senator D'Alessandro and her strong voice back to the House of Representatives in Legislative District 2, which includes part of Pima and all of Santa Cruz County. Andrea D'Alessandro has won the respect of all who've worked with her to build a better Arizona. Andrea D'Alessandro has been a champion for progressive issues, the environment, and for educators who depend on Andrea to battle for more funding for teachers and more funding for all students in Arizona. Andrea works hard as a proven, experienced progressive leader, serving all the interests of Arizona. Independents, Democrats, vote for Andrea D'Alessandro for Legislative District 2, House of Representatives, in the August 4th Democratic primary. This message is paid for by D'Alessandro for Arizona 2020. Authorized by Andrea D'Alessandro.
Honey, it is so good to get away. Oh, no. Hold on, honey. Gotta floor it. Before I hit the open road, I make sure my car is serviced at Perfection Auto Works. I want to be sure my car is running at peak performance for these unexpected road hazards, severe travel conditions, and problems that seem to crop up. My family's safety is my main priority.
Wow, honey, this is the smoothest vacation trip we have ever taken. I'm so glad you took the car to Perfection Auto Works to make sure all is well. Mwah.
Life is so full of unexpected events. Next time you hit the road or whatever else is in the way, make sure your car's in peak condition, whether going over rough terrain or smooth open road. Tune-ups, oil changes, front end work, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works studios. You know, very quickly, I just want to get this in because it's so important. Perfection Auto Works has been a sponsor of our show for a long, long time. I've never had to worry about my car, and it's a very old car. It's 2003, you know, kind of a Chrysler, one of those things. But I don't have to worry about it because I know that Mike Emery's going to fix it if something goes wrong. And I've never had that situation before where I trusted a mechanic as much as I trust Mike Emery. You can trust this guy to keep your car running the way you want it to run. 323-8550. This is a great guy. He and I have nothing in common politically, except that we care about our car, and he cares about his business. I care about my car getting fixed by his business, and it works out pretty well for us. He's just a great guy. Mike Emery, take your car for repair to Perfection Auto Works. You'll be very, very pleased with the experience. Let me go to Ethan Orr, who is a former member of the House of Representatives. He cast one of the more heroic votes that I've ever seen. He was in a difficult situation to vote for Medicaid expansion. He did so, and because he cast that vote, I probably had to face the political opposition that he would never have had to face had he not made the vote. But because he did, he saved thousands of lives and pumped millions and millions of dollars into the health system of Arizona. And it was really a courageous vote. And he's back in the arena running for the Pima Community College Board. Here's Ethan Orr. Welcome back.
John, thank you. I really appreciate a chance to be back on your show. It's good to be back.
All right. What makes you have a great job with the University of Arizona? What makes you decide, well, I'll get back into this political game again and run for the Pima Community College Board?
Part of it is I care a lot about our community. You and I have had this conversation many times before. I see Pima College as kind of this gateway of opportunity for so many of my fellow Tucsonans. You know, whether you're not quite ready to go to the University of Arizona, I've been working on these articulation plans, and you need a couple years, and you can do it a little bit more affordably. If you're a worker and you want to improve your skills and get a better job, if you're taking a community class, or even someone coming out of the JTED to get the credentials to get a much higher paying job, Pima's kind of the heart of all of it. And so I want to be back in the heartbeat of Tucson.
By the way, enrollment is down at Pima Community College. We all know that. And what do you do to try to make that opportunity more available to people and to get the numbers back up, which obviously there's facilities there and there's a faculty waiting. And even though through these difficult times, this education is absolutely critical to a great many people and their future. What do you do?
I see two main tracks that we need to refine and establish. If you look at our, again, kind of our vocational ed, our career pathways, whether this be our construction trades, our health trades, even the restaurant industries, you're looking at anywhere from 25,000 to 30,000 jobs that are currently unfilled. Now, in 2006, I was grateful to be able to work with our business community to help create the Pima County JTED, now CTED, that gives students these skills. What Pima College needs to do is create an agreement with the JTED where they're coming out of JTED into Pima College and graduating with a certificate in welding, automotive, and again, these very practical, high-paying skills. The other thing that I'm working on from my position at the U of A is creating it where it's a lot more affordable for a student to go to Pima sometimes for 2 years. They have smaller, more focused classes. They get an associate, and they're halfway there to a baccalaureate. I think we need to, as Pima College, be partnering with both the U of A to create what are called articulated agreements, and also our school districts to have a guaranteed dual admission so that I can graduate or even go back to college, have a little bit more comfortable place to get those first 2 years under my belt, and then be ready to finish up a bachelor's degree.
Well, obviously, your job now is the University of Arizona's College of Agricultural and Life Sciences Vice President. Pretty important job. And you took that, I believe you went to the university not long after you left the legislature. This has been a pretty good transition for you, has it not been?
It's been a great transition. In fact, and I'm thankful. On the side, I've always, as an adjunct professor, I've always taught at either Pima College or the University of Arizona for the past 20 years. Even when I was in the legislature, I was teaching constitutional law in Arizona government. And when I lost in 14, a number of places, including the University of Arizona, asked me to consider applying there. And I went with the U of A, and it's been a wonderful 5.5 years. I'm finishing up a doctorate. I got the funding to help start the College of Veterinary Sciences. I travel around the state really just learning stuff with our College of Ag and our cooperative extension.
You know, it's amazing. I put in a bill when I was in the state senate so many years ago before you were born for at least funding for a College of Agriculture at the University of Arizona, but a veterinary school. And you've yes. laid the groundwork for that, haven't you?
We did. In fact, we start classes this fall. We are incredibly excited to have accreditation done. One of the things that I'm encouraging our new dean, Dean Funk, it's obviously her decision. But again, JTED and PEMA could do a lot of the pre-veterinary work. And as you know, this has been important for our state. Our ag industry and our communities have wanted this for 50 years. And what we're doing is we're teaching people not only the large animal vet, but the small animal vet. And then we're also teaching them, if you don't want to get a doctorate in veterinary sciences, you can get a master's or baccalaureate in animal biosciences and go work for Ventana or Sanofa and earn $70,000 to $80,000 a year.
By the way, this would be the first veterinary school, as I understand it, in an arid land, in a
yes.
desert. And, of course, if you look at the deserts all across this great world, so much of the great hunger and death is caused because there is no really veterinary science available to much of the world, and especially as it is applied to the trials and tribulations of living in an arid land, as we do here. There would be much we could teach the world as well as instruct ourselves in veterinary medicine. It really is a great, great future. I'm so glad finally somebody did it after a half a century since I've been there.
Well,
so.
I appreciate you laying the groundwork and fighting the fight when you were there because it's so important. I mean, there were counties, there are rural counties that I've been to that part of the county has one, maybe two veterinarians left before they get ready to retire. And one thing that we've also done, which is very exciting, is we've found a way to reduce the cost of it with what's called a distributed model and getting students out. So students are going to be graduating with about a third of the debt load of a more traditional school because we're not paying for the hospital. We're outsourcing. We're working with like the animal shelter. We're working with the zoo. And by doing that, now, as you know, I can graduate, I have a little bit less debt, and I can pursue the life that I want to, whether that be in Tucson or Springerville, and I can start my life a little bit earlier, get married and start a family, and not have this looming debt hanging over me.
That's a great concept. Thank you so much for that. Very quickly, how do people help you get elected to the Pima Community College Board, which I insist that happens? You have to be on this board. You really do.
Well, I really appreciate it. We have our website up, ethan4pima.com. It tells a little bit about me. Obviously, getting in this race, I need your donations. I need you, if you live north of the Rito River, I need your help hosting, putting up a sign. We're also going to be starting a series of online town halls with COVID. We're not doing much in person, but I'm asking people to invite their neighbors and their friends to an online town hall so we can just have a candid conversation about Pima. But I need your donations. I need your help getting up signs. And I need talking to your friends about the buzz, because you're right, Pima is so important to our community.
Well, I just wish you the very best. Thank goodness you're back in the arena. This is exactly where you belong. Wayne, I've got 1 minute. Let's take your call, if you don't mind. You're with Ethan Orr. Wayne, quickly, go ahead.
Yeah, Ethan, it'd be great to have you on the board. I think Pima is a treasure, and it'd be nice to bring it back to life. I wanted to just ask you quickly, what about the U of A farm? Do you have any comments on that, and I'll hang up.
Thank you, Wayne.
Absolutely. Wayne, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I know that the U of A farm is incredibly important. In fact, one of the jobs that I've recently been doing to help the U of A has been the Pima County Extension Director to pick up a little bit of management. So my office has actually been based for the past 8 months on the U of A farm on the east side. I think we need to understand what a treasure it is for our community. We need to preserve the science that has done that. In fact, the viticulture, the wine industry, was actually given birth right there west of Campbell. We have some incredible resources with our SEAC controlled environment, the greenhouses. And I think as a community, what we need to be doing, the discussion doesn't need to be, let's sell this valuable view shed. The discussion needs to be engaging with the neighbors and how do we make this our highest and best use. One of the things that I've been talking to from the U of A perspective, the JTED, about is creating a series of like ag or food systems 1 or 2 classes where high school kids can get a college credit and it transfers anywhere. Some of that coursework can be done at that campus farm. And
wow.
So I think as a community, it gives us a chance to take this gem and really figure out how we shine it up a bit.
Absolutely.
It just needs to be a beautiful, special place.
It is now, and it needs to remain so. Thank you so much, Ethan. Good luck. We'll talk again as this campaign unfolds. We need you on the Pima Community College Board. Thanks for being with us. Good luck.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Wayne.
You bet. Thanks for your call, Wayne. We'll be back with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party. Much to talk about in the politics of 2020. That's after these messages.
Pima County Health Department, under the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, works every day to protect Pima County citizens. It is timely that one of Arizona's most respected physicians is stepping forward in the middle of this terrible pandemic to run for a seat at the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines is a former member of the State House of Representatives. If we ever needed a medical expert on the Board of Supervisors, we need that doctor now. We need Dr. Matt Hines for supervisor. Vote for Matt Hines for supervisor. This message paid for by Hines for Supervisor. Pamela Powers Hanley is the progressive voice of the Arizona House of Representatives. Pamela Powers Hanley is a proud activist, a proud Democrat, and a proud Arizonan. Pamela has fought to preserve vote by mail in Arizona. She has battled to protect citizens from the deadly effects of COVID-19. And she has demanded sensible regulations that protect the health of all Arizonans. Pamela Powers Hanley asks for your vote in the August 4th primary election. This message paid for and approved by Powers for the People 2020. Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue. His conservative columns written for the Arizona Daily Star became a must-read for every Southern Arizonan interested in or active in politics. His radio talk show became a leading voice for conservative thought in Southern Arizona. He is Joseph Morgan, and he's running for Congress in Congressional District 2. Joseph Morgan gives the Republican Party the best chance in the last 4 years to regain the District 2 seat. Joseph Morgan is a tireless worker. He's walked to thousands of homes in Southern Arizona. Joseph Morgan is the right person to help us through these very tough times. Joseph Morgan will help lead us through the economic crisis that has resulted from COVID-19. Joseph Morgan believes that every person has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that government exists for no other purpose. Vote for Joseph Morgan in the Republican primary August 4th. This message paid for and approved by Joseph Morgan for Congress 2020.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Whether it's Don Jorgensen, he is the progressive voice of KVOI and appears regularly on the Bill Buckmaster Great Radio Show at noon, and now is with us on this Saturday afternoon from Seattle. Don, welcome to the show. How's the weather in the Northwest?
Oh, it's a perfect day in the Northwest, about 78 degrees and
stop
clear.
Stop it. Just yeah. Plain stop it. All right, listen, let's get to this. The first thing is, how far down do you think the Trump effect will have on the ballot? And I'm talking about our local ballot here or any ballot all across America. It could go to the U.S. Senate, to the congressional races, but to local elections as well. What is the Trump effect down ballot in 2020?
Yeah, here's the effect. It will get Democrats out to vote, and that's the key there. Because, yes, there'll be Republicans who won't vote for Trump at all or may even vote for Joe Biden, but Republicans tend to stick to their party, even though it's now the Trump Party and not the Republican Party as we used to know it. They won't flip down ballot, but the activism, that you call it anger, whatever you like, that Trump has created, and we're seeing that in the increased registration numbers for Democrats registering to vote. We're seeing it in the fundraising totals of Democratic candidates. What we're seeing there is, I think, an activism that is going to translate to the voting booth or hopefully vote by mail. And so the down ballot effect is that you'll have, I think, a very strong Democratic turnout. And that'll be the effect down ballot.
Speaking of effects,
will favor Democrats.
What are the effects of the two books that have been blockbuster sellers all across America, the Bolton book and the Family book on Trump? This is a critical time. People who haven't made up their mind may be making up their mind, but they may be making up their minds with one of these two books in their lap. What are the effects of that going to be? They were so damning against the president.
Well, my first response, John, is who hasn't made up their mind about Donald Trump?
Well, I don't know anybody.
If they are, they're probably not reading a lot. So I'm not sure what difference the book will make.
That's pretty funny.
It certainly does give, it doesn't tell us much we don't already know. I think it does give us even more insight into his character, speaking from my kind of mental health background and psychological background. It certainly confirms a lot of what we might have thought about this guy. The sociopathic tendencies and narcissistic tendencies, all of that. It's another confirmation. But I don't think it's going to change minds or cause anyone to make a decision about whether or not they're going to vote for him.
Let me ask you to comment on the passing of John Lewis, an icon, a giant among civil rights activists in America. And his life spanned, really, my life. I mean, all the way through the 60s when I was following, the civil rights movement all across America. And watched his Selma Bridge when he was beaten so badly. And now for 30 years in the Congress of the United States and his passing at age 80, it's an end of an era. These giants have left us from literally that entire group of civil rights leaders. He may be the last of it to live in this world of ours.
And what a beacon of, just of what's the best about the United States, what's best about this country. This is a guy who lived, he lived the way he preached in terms of nonviolent activity, in terms of standing up for what you believe and taking the blows literally. Just a giant of a man. One of the things I will never forget, I had the chance about 15 years ago. I was nobody. I was at a conference he was speaking at. He stopped near where I was. I had the chance to just shake his hand and look in his eye and say hello. And at that point, he didn't know me. I didn't mean a thing. He turned and said, "Hi, how you doing?" We spoke for about 30 seconds. And all of that goodness, strength in John Lewis came through just in that one little encounter. But, he said this in many, many different ways. And I think it gets back to what we just talked about when he said, and I think he said this in Selma not long ago, that we must use the vote as a nonviolent instrument to redeem the soul of America. And I could think of nothing greater as a way of honoring John Lewis's memory is to redeem the soul of America by voting in November.
Well, I'll tell you, I was so glad to see the president put the flag at half staff to honor this great American. We've gone through a great deal in his lifetime as Americans, and we still have a long way to go when it comes to minority rights in this country. We know that now. Black Lives Matter will tell us that. A great many of the activities of a great many people all across this land is screaming loudly that the job is unfinished, and there is much to do, and many miles to go before we sleep. Don Jorgensen, thanks so much for being on the show. I really truly appreciate it. You going to be on Buckmaster's show coming up?
This Monday, I will. Thank you.
I just wanted to mention that, and always nice to hear you spar in that environment. It's always a great a contest between the two of you. Thanks so much for being on our show today. I hope you have a great weekend. I envy your climate control in Seattle. I do.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.
All right. Great to talk with you. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party and a regular on the Buckmaster Show. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Again, I want to thank Mike Emery and his wonderful staff at Perfection Auto Works. If you want somebody to fix your car right at a fair price and an honest mechanic, are you kidding? He is. Mike Emery's the guy. Call him at 323-8650. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to our show. We'll be back next week, 3 to 4 in the Saturday afternoon forum called the John C. Scott Political Forum.
My father was a Tucson police officer for over 25 years, and 5 members of my family, including my husband, are TPD officers. I'm outraged with the idea of defunding the police. Current low staffing levels compromise the safety of Tucson residents, our local businesses, and our officers. Please reach out to the City Council and tell them to vote no on defunding the police.
Less officers on the street makes us less safe. Tell the mayor and council not to defund the police. Email your support to comments at tucsonaz.gov.
Everything all right, sir?
Okay, let me ask you, why doesn't my hamburger look like the one that's in the picture there?
Are you having a bad day, sir?
As soon as I got here, how can you take a 16th of an inch thick hamburger patty and still have it raw in the middle? Tell me!
Security!
I don't understand how anybody could like music like that. Why do you gotta play it so loud?
Turn it down! Stupid commies, you don't even know what you're doing. You're tearing down my America. I hate you!
Why would anybody want their car that loud? Okay, you know, I've about had it, man. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, man, you crazy?
Hey, take it to Perfection Auto Works. They'll fix it for you.
When you find yourself losing it and falling down over car repair, Perfection Auto Works is here to catch you no matter what condition your car is in. Tires, brakes, and our free 26-point inspection guarantees you one less worry in a world gone mad. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.